How do we start this? I never know how to start.
Are we going to say like it's our first episode? Are we going to be like, welcome? Are we going to say a little bit about us? Or are we just going to go straight in? You get nervous, don't you, when you first start? What would you know? What would you say on another podcast? What would be your intro?
I don't know.
Oh, bless you. I think we should start by introducing us. Should we say a little bit of background about why we want to do it, who we are?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Do you want to start? Shall I?
Yeah.
You want me to start?
I just said yeah.
Right. So maybe let's think about this.
This we is our word.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go then.
Am I starting?
Your laugh is so dirty, mate.
It's awful, isn't it? So, but it's not intentional.
You were born to do this podcasting stuff, weren't you?
Bite-sized chunks. Was that what we're doing?
No. At some point, we're going to stop laughing because we're having far too much fun.
Okay, stop this. We're so unprofessional. Okay. So
I love it when you switch into your professional mode. I think you cannot shake the inner consultant out of you, can you?
Can't.
Is there some kind of training that you go on as a Slimming World consultant that basically makes you into a...
It's like they put a little chip in you.
Do they?
Yeah, and it like takes part of your soul in a great way, but it's always there.
They
own
you.
Switched off. Yeah, like you never switch off. Like it's always in you, like... Is that a healthy extra beach?
I always notice that Slimming World consultants use the word lovely. And our gorgeous Anna.
Oh my God, it's so true.
I know you do.
Oh my
and,
God.
But the thing is, but now that I've been to so many of the groups, I notice that other consultants do that.
Fantastic. Lovely. Yeah, it's because you're looking for the most descriptive way to show that this person is brilliant. And sometimes your vocabulary isn't very extensive. But yeah, that word lovely. Yeah, it's quite a nice word, isn't it? Until you've said it for about the 786 times
a week.
Yeah, and then it seems a little bit insincere.
Yeah, I think that you need to get the thesaurus out.
Yes, okay. Is that my project for 2019? Using the word... Or fabulous. I love the word fabulous.
How about... If I, moving forwards on episodes, I aim to bring you a plethora of, what they call that?
Like
adjectives.
A smorgasbord. Don't ask me.
Is that the description ones?
I bloody didn't even know how to... Look, my parents made me Anna, didn't they? Same forwards as it is backwards and only two letters. It's like they knew I was going to be dyslexic. Yeah, it's like I want a smorgasbord of like different phrases.
It sounds
use.
Like a cheese board
exactly.
of adjectives.
But something that's sincere. So... Yeah, I'm not going to switch into, like, you know, professional mode. I'm just going to carry on and let it see how it flows out my pores. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Yeah.
You can carry on.
So should I just let you know that we are in no way affiliated to Slimming World?
This is an unofficial podcast. Yeah. We should make that very clear that we are not being paid by Slimming World to do this.
Do you think they'd pay us?
Someone might. You never know.
You never know. But yeah, I'm a Slimming World consultant, also a member. But we're coming at you from a personal viewpoint, aren't we? This is all about kind of how we feel, what we've experienced, what we've done that you probably shouldn't do, and all that in between. But we're by no means medically trained. I should also say that. I have got a number of illnesses that coexist, but what I have learned is not through textbooks, it's through experience. So we're not here to medically advise people, are we?
No. And obviously, we want to make sure that the word of this podcast is spread. And there are so many people out there who are bumbling along, as I did actually for a year, doing Slimming World online, for instance.
Toss that.
Or you meet people in the office, particular at this time of year, who are back on the horse trying to lose weight. So if there's one thing that you can do today, just tell a friend about this podcast or share it on social media, because you never know at this time of year who might need an extra helping hand. And if we can try and help you think about this diet, losing weight, or whatever it is that you want to call it, if we can help you make it feel fun, then that's basically
that's
the core of what we're trying to
do. And we won't give you any medical advice along the way, I promise. Well, maybe. A little bit.
No,
she's looking at me like, no.
No, we don't have the insurance to cover
that. Oh, sugar. Okay, forget I said that.
Okay. I also think it's important that we maybe come clean and tell you a little bit about who we are. So in the first two episodes of this podcast, we're going to interview each other, which is going to be hilarious, and explain how we've come to fall in love with all things Slimming World. And well, for you, Anna, it's kind of become a way of life, hasn't it?
Well, it is my life, yeah. It's 18 years of my life it's 18? Been. And I'm only 22. No, 18, nearly 19 years ago, I walked into my first Slimming World group, and now I run six of my own. It's been a game changer in many, many ways. And I feel like if you cut me in half, I would say Slimming World. It's, you know, everything from having a baby in Slimming World to, you know, getting married when I've been in Slimming World to being at uni. It's gone through every big kind of milestone in my life. So yes, Mrs. Slimming World.
And not only that, but you obviously work in Slimming World now, yeah, as a consultant.
Yeah.
I think that you haven't just got one group though, have you?
No, six.
Six?
Yeah, six beautiful groups, six very different, six very crazy groups. But yeah, six groups that I absolutely adore. So yeah, full on Slimming World, full on.
Yeah. I mean, we know each other because I'm one of the members of your group.
You are indeed.
So I walked through your doors early January.
Oh, gosh. And I wasn't even there to greet you, was
no,
I?
No, you weren't.
I was holidaying.
But I'd heard about you, you know.
God, had you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's worrying.
I'd heard about you. I'd heard about your energy.
Oh.
And I'd heard from other members that, like, there were lots of different groups. And for me, what I needed was a flexible approach. I needed an adaptable way that I could lose weight with someone who was young and full of spunk.
Oh!
If there ever is such the correct word.
Yeah, I think that pretty well sums it up.
Put that as your reference.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think one of the main reasons I became a consultant is because I'd been to groups that didn't have that approach and didn't have a consultant I could actually connect with. And I needed someone that kind of got me, got where I was in my life, got where I was with my weight and my food, and had a bit of energy to motivate me on the weeks that I just totally lost it. So that was kind of one of the predominant reasons why I wanted to do it, because I've been bored. Does that make sense? And not just in Slimming World groups, in other weight loss groups. And I wanted it to be fun. I wanted it to be a laugh, because losing weight could be so blinking hard, can't it? That you just think, yep, I needed something that was different. So I don't know if it's good that my reputation precedes me, Claire, but it obviously does. But yeah, that's where the kind of passion really comes out, that I really want to make it a bit more different. And you step out of your group and you feel like, I can do this, and I've got the tools like that have been given to me, so I can do it properly. So.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to share some of our things that we've kind of learned over the past few years. And I'm obviously really interested to hear about you as a Slimming World member,
yeah,
not necessarily as a consultant.
So I'm going to open the door now to the truth, aren't we? Yeah. Well, I'll start at the beginning. I've been a member 23 times, 23 times. So for anybody out there who thinks, do you know what, I've messed up, there's no such thing. It's literally getting back on it. I first joined when I was at uni. You know, that kind of, I come up to Manchester to go to uni, never eaten curry before I came to Manchester. Well, I found it in abundance, along with beer and everything. And the weight piled on. And I think when you're at uni, you don't realise, do you, about kind of what you're eating and what you're doing, and you're just being carried along with it. But then it got to graduation and I couldn't fit in anything. And I'd gone from leaving London like a size 10, 12 to maybe like a 16, 18 now. And I thought, I just can't do this. So I joined Slimming World, and it was so different as a student. Like, you know, you're so skint, aren't you? And someone said you can eat jacket potatoes and baked beans and lose weight. And that's when it clicked with me. Pasta, rice, all those cheap staples, and still drink. So in 8.5 months, I lost 4.5 stone. And
wow.
I got into a size 10 Topshop dress for graduation.
Whoa.
You know when you're like, yes, I've made it, because it's a Topshop dress with a zip. Like, that's how good I felt. No lycra.
And you had the student discount then.
Exactly, yeah. And mum paid for it, so it was even better. And that's when I really knew that I just loved food optimizing, because it just made life really simple. I could do it on the cheap. I could lose weight and still kind of keep my lifestyle up, just with some modifications. So out went the curry and the beer, and in came like the pasta and the vodka. So those little kind of changes. But then I got a bit cocky, do you know? I'm skinny, I feel good, like, you know, all those lovely things. And the things crept in, and wine and holidays, and then a job after uni. We just drank more than we did at uni. And I regained 5.5 stone.
Wow, in what period?
Yeah, well, I think I lied to myself a lot because Lycra allows you to lie. Do you know
that? I love that. I wrote that down a few weeks ago when you put, I blame Lycra.
Yeah, I do.
Because I also wore leggings nonstop for 5 years.
Exactly. You stretch with leggings, don't you?
Not jeans.
No. Oh, God, you know it's bad when you won't go near jeans. I would say that probably happened within about 18 months, 19 months. Phil and I moved in together as well. So the takeaways, he worked in TV crazy hours. I just was out drinking. So takeaways happened. And then what happened after kind of I realized that I was kind of back into the kind of 16, 18, 20, at my biggest to 22. I kind of knew I had to do something about it. But sometimes it's just too blinking hard, isn't it? And you go, I'm going to dip in and I'm going to dip out of this. And I dipped in out and out of another 20 groups.
20 groups, 20, wow.
20 different groups. I wouldn't go back to the same ones.
What, for 1 or 2 weeks?
Yeah, sometimes just that 1 week at the pack, be like, oh, sorry, I can't stay. Here's my tenner. Like, make a commitment. Did online. We're joining London in the summer. Like, we'll just flip around. Get a £7 weight loss, then a £10 weight gain, then kind of do a £2. Then just wouldn't see the 4 stone off in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I would always compare it to that first journey. And then basically my life changed overnight in 2009. So yeah, about 6 years messing around, 20 different groups, even dabbled with Weight Watchers in the middle there to try and see if I could kind of commit to something else. Didn't work because the moment I had to weigh pasta was the moment I fell out of love with that. Mm. So 2009, June the 6th, a happy 28-year-old, loving life, great job. I broke my back on a trampoline.
Jesus.
So life changed at that moment. But because I was so overweight at that time, when I became bedbound and couldn't do anything, even more weight crept on. Because I don't know about a lot of people out there, but I was a massive, massive comfort eater. I would eat when I was happy, when I was sad, when I was bored. I just ate because it looked at me. I just ate because I hadn't eaten for about 10 minutes. And I spent 2.5 years off work and a year of that in bed. And the weight just crept and crept and crept and crept. And I became a sadder person. So basically the crux happened when I had to have spinal reconstruction. And the doctor said, well, your BMI is nearly 42. Like, I'm not operating on you, Anna. You're too high risk. So you've got to lose some weight. Well, I knew I had to do something, but I didn't have the courage. You know, when you're just too scared, aren't you? You're just like, I've got to face this. So I googled Slimming World and I sat in the car park of the 6 local groups. Literally, I drive down. I did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And there was a Saturday morning and I just didn't walk in. I just didn't walk in because I knew that if I walked in, I had to change. And I think sometimes you're not ready to change, are you? You're not ready to face the fact that you are a compulsive eater. Not ready to change the fact that, you know what, food is one of the only things that make you happy. But my best friend, who now has relocated to America just so I can't bombard her with Slimming World stuff anymore, pushed me into the group of the 7th one. Oh my God, that day was terrifying. It was really scary. But it was a lad that was running the group and he was 22 and he had bright blonde hair and he was full of energy. He was full of life. He spoke to me in a way, was like, I get it. I get where you're at. I get what you're doing and I get what you need to do. And it was a game changer. I thank Joe and that group for changing it for me because actually what he did was give me the confidence to stop binge eating. And I lost 3 stone 9, got my BMI down to 23.
Wow. Yeah. Hang on, from 42 to 23.
Yeah, 23.7. And
what kind of numbers are we talking? That must have been a hell of a lot of weight loss.
3 stone 9. That's all. It wasn't as huge as it, you know, I thought it was going to be. Dress size, I would never admit it, but I'm saying size 22 around the waist, easy. You know, I'm talking like a 44-inch waist I had. Mm. And I get very broad. I don't go out. I just get wider. I remember Mum saying, oh, Anna, it's happened again. You've got wider again. So then by the time I lost all my weight, I was about a size 10, 12, really happy. So in October 2011, I had total lumbar reconstruction with a BMI of 23. And he said, the only way you can have this operation is if you're a healthy BMI. And I was really lucky to kind of get myself into that zone. And that is all thanks to food optimizing. Without food optimizing, without my group, without my consultant, without my hubby, that would have never, ever, ever have happened. So yeah, it's been quite a checkered journey.
I think what's also interesting about your journey is that you achieve that weight loss without doing exercise.
And nothing.
There will always be a myth, which I'm sure we'll tap into in other episodes, that people have to go to the gym, they have to run a marathon just to lose the weight. Yeah. But in your circumstance, it was about focusing on what are you putting in your mouth.
Totally. I literally lost weight by being in bed. I couldn't physically do more than walk down the stairs to the bathroom. That was it. And as I recovered from the spinal surgery, I was able to do things like walk around Tesco's, which I hadn't been able to do. But no formal activity came in. But what I realised is while I was in bed, I couldn't eat in the way that I'd learnt to eat. I had to use food to boost my weight loss. So I had to really work food optimising to the best of its ability to be able to lose weight while I wasn't being active. Sorry, she was about to sneeze. She was being very polite there. You just heard me take a sharp and take a breath. So what it really taught me is that activity I needed psychologically, though, because actually I felt so much better when I did have a walk. I wouldn't then crave the things that perhaps I'd used as an emotional crutch before. But yeah, wholeheartedly, I'm the person that lost all that weight with a spinal injury. I couldn't be active. So I think it's a really important thing to know. We would really encourage people to get activity in, but it's not the thing that's going to drop your pounds. It's really not. It's going to boost your weight loss by about half a pound in a week. Mm. And I think that is a massive misconception. Like, I haven't lost this weight this week because I haven't done Zumba, or I haven't walked, or I haven't played tennis. No, it's because of the food you put in your mouth. And I think it's really recognizing that. So yeah, but now activity is a really integral part of my everyday life, because I don't like formal exercise. Does that make sense? I think it goes back to PE lessons when I was the chubby child that never got picked, so I just don't go near it. But walking, I walk everywhere. I've got a toddler, I run around like a lunatic, but you wouldn't catch me on a treadmill, if that makes sense. So yeah, activity doesn't equal weight loss.
So since you had the surgery, you've now got a little girl.
Oh, yes.
So many other things have changed over the last 7 years.
Yeah.
What kind of hurdles have you had to overcome in recent years?
Well, I've got quite a severe bowel illness, and I've been very, very poorly since I got married in 2013. And what that has kind of caused is that I couldn't eat a lot of the things that I used to eat before. Also, it made me really sad. And again, I was back in that space where I was tempted to use food as comfort. So I've really had to overcome illness and weight loss and massive doses of steroids. I had 17 doses of IV steroids in 12 months, which people think I'm going to put on weight. Well, actually, if you food optimize, you won't. And I lost weight during that. I also lost my dad, which was a really massive thing because I was spending 2 years of my life driving up and down the M6, back and forth to London while he was, you know, dying. And that, trying to food optimize from, you know, service stations, well, I don't need to tell you that. There's only so many packets of ham and carrot sticks that you can eat. Do you know what I mean? So overcoming that, being in different spaces and really recognizing that you can't use that as an excuse. But I think the biggest one has been having a baby. I food optimized through pregnancy, which was mind blowing because my fear had always been, I'll get pregnant, I'll put 5 stone on. Well, actually, I came out of having Daisy 30 pounds lighter by the time she was a month old. I only gained 13 pounds in pregnancy. So,
wow.
To me, food optimizing gave me the healthiest pregnancy I could possibly have. Also, a healthy baby when everything was against her. So she got very sick when she was born. And the doctor said, you have eaten so well and been so healthy in that pregnancy that I really think that's given Daisy a good shot when she was so sick. But the biggest trial, I think, now is having a toddler and having brioche and bread and butter and things that I would have never have had in the house, and having to, you know, not pick at that. And when she puts food in your mouth, going, oh, thank you, and not trying to give her an issue with it, because when you've got a 19-month-old, you don't want to be mummy can't eat this, you know. So yeah, I think life throws all sorts of things at you, doesn't it? And I think it's really important that you recognize as life changes, your food optimizing evolves and can get harder and can get easier. But it's my constant. So as life has been horrific and things have happened, food optimizing has always been my anchor. It's been the thing that I could control when I couldn't control anything else. So that's why I kind of love it so much, because do you know what? It's the one thing I've been really successful at when other things haven't been. So yeah, it's been like the staple. It's been like the boyfriend that never left me.
I always think that there is Someone had said to me in one of my groups about how you can't control all the things that happen around you in life, but the one thing you can control is you know, the food that you put in your mouth and what you're going to eat and how you look after yourself. And that kind of comes in the form of making habits, changing your habits, doesn't it?
And I think that's why food optimizing works if you look at it as a lifestyle. The moment you look about this as a diet, that's when it's so hard. Diets are hard. Diets don't work. They have beginnings, they have middles, they have ends. And at the end, you normally try and go back and fit your old lifestyle into your weight loss, don't you? But if you can integrate this in your lifestyle and say, do you know what? This is what I'm choosing to do rather than this is what's inflicted on me. It's that sense of control, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm choosing to be healthy. I'm choosing not to go and eat high fat, high sugar food because doesn't leave me feeling very good. So yeah, I look at food optimizing as always being something that grounds me and always kind of makes me remember how far I've come and how different life could be without it. Because I owe my health, I owe my baby to food optimizing, and it doesn't get much bigger than that, does it? And I think when you think about the good you've done to your mind and your body, it's a really powerful thing to think about.
So where are you at right now? Do you consider yourself target? Does the journey continue?
The journey continues. The journey never stops. For me, I would love to lose another stone in the new year. I would love to get back to the lightest place I've ever been. But what I had to recognise this year is, do you know what? You can't always be amazing at this. And I've looked at the last year as I've kept the same weight up and down in 3-pound blocks for the last 12 months. And I've got to celebrate that success. Am I where I want to be in terms of size and weight? No. But actually, am I where I want to be compared to where I was, you know, say 10 years ago? Definitely. So I know for me now, I have to step up the activity and I have to step up the little things that perhaps, you know, that have tweaked around. So yes, I am on a weight loss mission for 2019.
What are the kind of key things that you struggle with?
Sugar. Massive. Look, I didn't even let her finish her sentence, did I? Sugar. For me, sugar's a massive trigger because there's never enough to satisfy my sugar appetite. Like, I think if I just poured a bag of sugar into my mouth, I don't even know that would do it. So recognising how I use sugar.
I'd love to watch.
Yeah, totally. A bit messy. How I use sugar and how it plays in. And I think what I've learned since having Daisy is that it's about ease. I have to food optimise in such a different way. I can't spend an hour cooking dinner like I used to. I've got to feed her in 10 minutes and feed myself. So yeah, sugar, snacking and tiredness. You know, I never knew tiredness like this. I just, I've not slept since she was born because she doesn't sleep. So I sleep in blocks. And how tiredness really impacts your appetite, it changes your appetite. It also sets your resilience down. So whereas you may have had the strength previously to go, I'm not going to eat that, you go, oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Just have a bit. I don't need to tell you about that, do I?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I need to make sure I've always got food there. I'm a grazer, so I like to eat constantly. And if there's not something I can open the fridge and eat, then it's going to be a drive to the supermarket and sugar will call me in. So, yeah, sugar is my nemesis, but it's never going to beat me. I'm not going to let it get back there. So, yeah.
Anna, I think that you've got an incredible story and so many things that I love learning from you all the time. So I'm so grateful that you got to share your story with other people and just kind of lay out a bit of a foundation, I think, so that people kind of know where you're coming from.
And how we got to this amount of weird. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're definitely pretty weird, aren't we?
But I love that about us. And the next episode, we are going to be talking about Claire's story. You are going to hear all about how Claire has got to where she is right now and is on an amazing journey. So one definitely to listen to. So I would really recommend that you subscribe so that every Monday you can get your podcast dropping straight into you. So follow the links, the normal way to subscribe. Also, drop us an email if you fancy hearing a bit more or want to tell us a few things that you'd like to hear about. It's slimandwellpodcast@gmail.com. And we've also got an Instagram, which I am loving. So please hashtag us in your pictures. Let us know what's going on. It's at Slim and Well Podcast.
And we'll be back next week with some more tales and woes and stories of our Slimming World journey as we continue.